trust that during this time frame that we have been fellowshipping together, that God is doing an internal work in each of your hearts. I know that I need that eternal work as much as you might need it. Maybe I probably need it more. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you that the Lord has been, it's been a blessing for me to be here over these last few days. Hallelujah. Because there is much the Lord has been doing in my heart and in my soul, as well as what he may or may not be doing in your hearts and your soul. Hallelujah. Because like everyone else, I am still an imperfect vessel. I still have much things to overcome, much things that I have to put under my foot. And I was listening to, I was able to get a copy of the tapes the other day, and I've been listening to the messages, and I think they were more for my benefit than they were for yours. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know, the Bible says that the Word of God is like a mirror. Hallelujah. And that mirror does not always reflect what it may be that we would want to see. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, you get up in the morning. Hallelujah. Nobody comes out the door and presents themselves to other people before they take a look in the mirror. Hallelujah. At least I don't think they do. Maybe they do. Praise the Lord. But most people, I'm talking from personal experience now. Hallelujah. Most people, when they look in the mirror, you know, your hair is a mess. Your face looks like it just woke up from some sort of tragic accident. And you have to do something about your appearance. Hallelujah. So the mirror of the Word reflects the true image of what it is we are. And it will also reveal to us some of the discrepancies of which we have to work on fixing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the mirror is a word. The Word is a mirror. Hallelujah. And I trust that we are all getting a very good look at ourselves. Hallelujah. And that we will not be discouraged, but we will be encouraged to change. Hallelujah. Because there's much about my reflection that I want to fix. There's much about my character that I want to have changed. Hallelujah. And no matter how good my position or my resolves are, unless I put it into a position or a place of practice, hallelujah, it's of little value to me. That's what the Bible says when it says you look in a mirror and you see something and you turn away and you go away and you forget what? What manner of reflection that you saw? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is a position or a place that God is wanting to reveal our shortcomings and our discrepancies and the things of that aspect of that character that are not consistent with the message that we are propagating, that we are hearing, and that we believe we have as a church. Hallelujah. Now, when I say church, I'm not talking about just a denominational aspect of it. The word church has been defiled. The word church has been corrupted by virtue of the denominational system. Hallelujah. But the church, hallelujah, the church, the term church, if I'm not mistaken, comes out of the word the ecclesia. Hallelujah. Now, if that is not correct, you can correct me. Praise the Lord. But I believe that is where the word church has come from. And that word ecclesia means those who are called out. Hallelujah. And that means that you come out from something and you come into something else. Hallelujah. And of course, we know by virtue of the tabernacle that that coming into something else is the coming into a position of personal, viable relationship with the Father. Hallelujah. In fact, that coming in gives him the opportunity to come into us. Hallelujah. So coming in means an opening of our soul, an opening of our heart. And the first thing that we have to do is to recognize the position or the place of the discrepancies of our character in relationship to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is the whole basis of salvation. Recognizing the position of discrepancies and then asking and working with the Father to turn those things around and change them, eliminate them, kill them, or to somehow miraculously replace them with something else. Hallelujah. Now, you know, you cannot get rid of something without taking something back or getting something in. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says that if you deliver a person of a spirit, hallelujah, what will happen if that space or that position of occupancy is not filled? Hallelujah. The house is swept and clean, but it's empty. Hallelujah. You and I need to fill the empty spaces up that God delivers us from with regards to those things that pertain to the accoutrements of what he is comfortable with as far as living in your tabernacle is concerned. Hallelujah. And the demeanor and the behavior of the soul is kind of like the furniture that you have in your house. Hallelujah. And when you and I are born again, that blood comes into an arena of malignant darkness. Hello? Hallelujah. It comes in, is deposited by the Spirit of God into the depths and into the very center of that darkness that has the control over your mind, over your emotions, over your desires, and over your will. Up until that point in time, you were in total absolute submission to that darkness. Hallelujah. And your first position of resistance, the first position or place of your stating your position of opposition, is when you were born again. Hallelujah. It was a statement to hell. It was a proclamation to every demon and every prince of darkness that you were no longer subjected to or in control of those forces and those agents that are somehow in your soul, and you are declaring war on them. Hallelujah. If you look at it in a different perspective, hallelujah, you go from a defensive posture to an offensive posture. Hallelujah. And if you lose that mentality, that darkness will overcome the light that is in you. Because that light is subject to the power of your choice. Hallelujah. You have to pray for my voice. It's going away. Hallelujah. So we need to get the reality. We need to get the reality of what it means to be born again. And we have been hammering on this, hammering on it, hammering on it, hammering on it, because you have to know the reality of it. And most of you do not know the reality of it. You still have the figment of imagination that to be born again means that you get into heaven. And not just get into heaven, but you get out of hell. Hallelujah. And you only are able to get out of hell if you push through hell to break through into heaven, or heaven breaks forth in you and expels and pushes the darkness, which is all of the aspect of who and what you are as far as the environment in which you are born. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, they say, they used to say, I don't know if they, you are what you eat. Hallelujah. And it's a true thought. if you eat garbage, your body will become a garbage can. It will smell like a garbage can. It will look like a garbage can. And it will be just as sanitary and as healthy as a garbage can be. How healthy is that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are not designed to harbor darkness. Hallelujah. You are designed by the creation of the Father to be a tabernacle that has light within it and has the ability to radiate that light to the environment in which you are in. Hallelujah. You know, one of the reasons I like pictures of lighthouses. Hallelujah. They don't use them so much anymore, but they have these old lighthouses they had back there in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, especially around the United States, around the coast, up and down the coast. Hallelujah. The lighthouse had a specific purpose. It was put in one place to warn those ships and vessels that were coming in their vicinity that there was rocks and things around and that they should steer clear of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they were also, many of them, had this humongous horn so that when on foggy days and foggy mornings or foggy nights when you really couldn't see the penetration of the light, they were always sounding this horn. And it was very loud, you know, and it was very irritating when you heard it. But it was warning you that there was something here and you need to steer clear of it. Hallelujah. And that is what God gives you and I the Holy Spirit for. Hallelujah. God gives you and I not just that we might prophesy, not just that we might see visions, not that we might just get a word of knowledge, not that we might just speak in tongues. All of those things are a part and a piece of it. Hallelujah. God gives us the Holy Spirit so that we might have a lighthouse, that we might have an ability to perceive, to understand, and to discern. Hallelujah. A good friend of mine, Brother George Herrick, had a dream. And in the dream, the Lord says to him, he said, "My people do not discern. My people need to learn how to discern." Hallelujah. So when you're sitting in a congregation, if you have been nurturing this spirit of truth, if you have been working with this spirit of truth, and I mean in your personal lives, hallelujah, not just in a collective manner and something it might tell you about somebody else, and quite frankly, the Holy Spirit isn't going to do that, not unless you are able to love that person more than yourself. Hello? Hallelujah. So if anybody gets a revelation about somebody else, and he goes around spreading it, I'm telling you, it's not the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit isn't going to prosper you in that way and then stab somebody else in the back knowing that you're not going to handle the information correctly. Hallelujah. Most of the things that the Lord tells me about situations or circumstances are things that I go into my closet about and pray. Hallelujah. And it's only on a rare occasion that the Lord will give me the liberty to speak to somebody about something, and usually I have to speak to the person whom God has given me the word concerning. Hello? Hallelujah. The prophecy in the church can be something very destructive. It can be very detrimental if it's handled in the wrong way. And if you don't think that the devil doesn't have his prophetic position or utterance, I suggest you go and look at that story in the Bible where Paul had to deal with that spirit woman that had a divining spirit. And what was she saying? "Here comes the men of God. They are coming from God." What she's saying was true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She was prophesying something that was very true, but it was by a different spirit. Hello. Hallelujah. Now the devil is not always quite so blatant, and sometimes he can be very subtle in how he approaches something. Hallelujah. But if you have the word of God, if you understand the reality of it, if you come to a conclusion that nothing is going to come to you by virtue of being free, and that there is something of a cost that is always attached to it, and it's going to be something that is going to cost you personally in some way or some manner. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, the church has gone through, and I say the church, I say the denominational system, hallelujah, has gone through several different types of doctrines and things. They've gone through the prosperity doctrine. They've gone through the name it and claim it doctrine. They've gone through all of these different things that pertain to the Holy Spirit, which is no Holy Spirit. It's probably more a Holy Ghost than a Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all of them are words, are thoughts or ideas that boost one up and makes one desire to have something more or something greater. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of the Father, that part of the Godhead, is given to you and I as an instructor, as an overseer, as one who would lead us, as the Bible says, into all truth. And that truth must make you free. If that truth does not bring freedom, it's not the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It does not bring condemnation. Hallelujah. Even when God rebukes you, hallelujah, and believe you me, the Father rebukes and chastens those whom he loves. Hallelujah. But it does not bring condemnation. It brings a sense of relief. It brings a sense of assurity. It brings a sense of comfort to know that this entity that you call the Father, hallelujah, loves you enough to chastise you. He loves you enough to correct you. He loves you enough to bring this aspect, and there is no position of self-interest on his part concerning it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The only thing that he has to gain on the basis of the correction that he brings to you is that you will know and understand him in a greater measure, in a greater way, in a greater reality. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Looks like I'm putting some of you to sleep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have to understand that operation of the Holy Spirit. Now, you and I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need it. Hallelujah. It's critical. It's essential if it is that we want to go on in the aspect of growing and maturing. You know, when you develop in age in the natural, hallelujah, when from, let's say, from 1 to 5 years of age, or maybe 1 to 3, I don't know, it depends on the culture, I suppose, there's not a lot that's required of you. Hallelujah. You are fed, you are clothed, hallelujah, you are loved, you're patted and petted, and sometimes discipline, probably not enough, but sometimes discipline. Hallelujah. But when you reach a certain age, hallelujah, the training really begins. Hello? Hallelujah. Now, you might have been doing, the parents might have been doing little things with the child, trying to teach it to talk right, trying to teach it how to read in some way or another, just little bitty things. But when they reach a certain age, there are other tools that are implemented to bring that education to a greater forefront, and the responsibility of the child and the pressure on the child is increased. Hello? Hallelujah. And that it is the same in the aspect of how it is God works in the economy of the Spirit. Hallelujah. When we are born again, hallelujah. Well, maybe I just need to put this up on the board. Hallelujah. And I'm going to draw vertical this time. Hallelujah. This is eternity. Hallelujah. Up here is eternity. And it is on the basis of the Elohim. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of this is eternity. It has no beginning. It has no end. And I know you've seen this all before, but they say repetition is the best teacher. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something about the tabernacle. I have been sitting under the tabernacle for almost 40 some years, almost 50 years. And there is something so magnanimous about it that every time I teach it or every time I hear it, hallelujah, hallelujah, I learn something new. There's some new revelation that God gives me, new understanding. But he doesn't give me the whole thing. He gives me a little piece, a little part, hallelujah, of it. And I have the responsibility to go back and look at what I said. Sometimes when I'm ministering, I will make a little note somewhere, or I'll say something in the tape so I can catch it when I go back to it. But I go back to it and I want to dig into it. I want to see what it was and where that trail goes. Because I want to understand the greater reality of what it is that God is wanting to show us. Hallelujah. I want to be a part of the end time. I want to be it with all my heart. When I heard it 50 years ago, Brother Duciel came. I was a very young man then. Hallelujah. I'm still young, but I was younger. Hallelujah. When Brother Duciel came, he came. Oh, yeah, it was really kind of like I thought a mistake. Because I had heard a part or a piece of this message prior to Brother Duciel. Hallelujah. But the man I heard it from did not have the revelation that Brother Duciel had of the word. But it was enough of a revelation to get me tired of the denominational system. And so we had been, as a family, we had begun to meet outside of the church and pray. And we had no idea what church should be. We had no idea what was going on in that arena. All we knew is that we did not want to go to the Pentecostal church that morning. And so we met in my mother's home. Hallelujah. And we all sat on the couch. I was just recently come back into the fold. I had been baptized by the Holy Spirit. I had no idea of the fact of what it was that we were supposed to be doing, because I was not educated in the things that pertain to religion. I just knew you had to go to church, you had to get saved. And then I found out you had to be baptized, so I got baptized. And the first thing that the Lord did in that baptism was to lead us out of the church. I didn't have to have a man come to me and tell me to get out of the church. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and spoke very loud to me that we needed to join ourselves together. And so there were only about five of us, me, my wife, my older brother, a friend of the family, and my mother, she was there. And we were all sitting on this little what they call a love seat. I don't know if you know what they call. They're little couches. Hallelujah. They hold about, well, comfortably they might hold three people, but we had five people squeezed into that couch. Hallelujah. And we've just decided to pray. And we started to pray. And the Holy Spirit fell on us in that room. Hallelujah. And at first it frightened me, because I was not aware, I was not understanding, I didn't know what was happening. Hallelujah. I had no thought, I was ignorant, completely, totally, paths to that type of operation. But the first thing that happened is that the Holy Spirit fell on me and I began to prophesy. Hallelujah. And I began to prophesy, and I prophesied, and I prophesied. And then it lifted, and it fell on the person next to me. And they prophesied, and they prophesied, and they prophesied. When it lifted, it fell on the next person next to her. And it fell, and they prophesied, and they prophesied, and they prophesied. And when they lifted, it fell on the next person. Hallelujah. And they did that all down through to the number five person. Hallelujah. There were five of us there. Hallelujah. And when it was done, God has told us what we were to do, how we were to do it, when we were to do it, and what it would be he would do if we did it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so out of that, a church was born. And one of the things he told us is you are not to advertise. You're not to talk about this. You are just to come, and you are to meet every Sunday and every so often during the week, blah, 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 blah. And you are to pray. You are to sing. You are to study the Word of God. You are to share with each other. He said, those whom I want to come, I will bring to your doorstep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we were obedient to the Word of God. And that little bitty group grew from five people to 75 people. Hallelujah. Meeting in my mother's home. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, they came from all over the world. And how they showed up, I have no idea. But they would be, we would be meeting in the room, and somebody would ring the doorbell. We would open the doorbell, and they said, we were told that you have a church here. I said, yes, come on in. Hallelujah. In fact, there was one lady that showed up at our door. She was either a Lutheran high administrative official or an Episcopal administrative, that was it. She had been given a year's sabbatical to examine this in-house church phenomena. Hallelujah. Now, this is in the time of what they called the charismatic renewal. Of course, the Catholic Church took credit for all of that. Hallelujah. But we know that Catholic Church had nothing to do with it. The Catholic Church hitched themselves to the train in order that they might save or keep those parishioners that were getting filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and going to these home fellowships. Hallelujah. Amen. So this woman had been given a year's sabbatical to go around and examine this in-house church phenomena. Hallelujah. How she got our name, how she got our address, I have no idea. But she showed up, and she got an earful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, out of that, one day my mom came to me. And she said, Bert. Hallelujah. She didn't call it. She called me another name, but you don't need to know what that one is. Hallelujah. She said, Bert. She said, Bert, I heard about this man over here in Stockton. Stockton was a town. We were living in Modesto. Stockton was a town that was about 30 to 40 minutes north of us on the main highway that at the time was called the 99 Highway. And she said, I'm going up there and I'm going to hear. I said, Mom, why are you going up there? I said, are you going up there with somebody? She said, no, I'm just going up there unless you want to come. I said, no, I can't come. I am working and I am not able to get off as far as that is concerned. She said, well, I'm going. That was Mom. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God for moms who hear in the spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, the man happened to be a Brother Dusil. Hallelujah. Amen. The man happened to be Brother Dusil. And she went up there. And the next day, after she came back, the next day, she said she called me up. She really didn't have the courage to face me, I don't think. She called me up, and she said to me, I went up there, I said, "Oh, really? Praise God." I said, "So what happened?" Oh, she said, it was very, very good. Very, very, very interesting. And I invited him down. I said, "What?" I said, "You don't even know this man." I said, "How could you invite him down? Where is he going to stay?" "In my home." "In your home?" Hallelujah. Well, maybe you would have had a different reaction. But for me, it was something that was really beyond logical thinking. Hallelujah. So the man came down. We met him and we had a meeting. I was working at the time, working 8 hours a day. And at the evenings, we would come in, sit down. And when this man began to open the Word of God, when this man began to explain to us the revelation of the tabernacle, I can tell you it was pricking something in my heart, and there was something going on down in the very depths of my soul, and I knew by the Word of God and by the grace of the Holy Spirit that this was God talking to me personally. Hallelujah. And he was there for almost 2 weeks. Hallelujah. Him and his wife, Mavis, they were both there for 2 weeks. And every night, work night, I was there at 5 o'clock in the afternoon because I took off work early to get there. And I sat in that chair from 5 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the morning. Hallelujah. Listening to the Word of God and asking questions. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Ducille, ask me a question. Hallelujah. And I tried to find the hardest questions I could dig up so I could find out whether he could really answer them or not. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, when that man left, there had been something indelibly written on my soul. Hallelujah. I mean, the finger of God, hallelujah, had written something on my soul that changed my life irrevocably for the rest of my entire life. And this word has been that magnet that has held me true to the course. Hallelujah. And there has to be something in you, hallelujah, there has to be a hunger in you, there has to be some aspect of reality in you that when you hear something about it, you know that you are hearing the voice of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. And you know, I believe the Word of God. I believe it. When God called me, there was a man, hallelujah. I lived out in the middle of an orchard, a peach orchard, hallelujah. I don't know if you know what that is, hallelujah, but it's big trees on acres and acres of ground, hallelujah. And I lived in this little trailer with my wife and family, one of those pull-behind trailers, but mobile homes. I don't know what you call them here, or if you even have them. Hallelujah. But we lived in this, and you had to. I lived out in a little farming community. Hallelujah. And I lived out on one of those small paved roads that go between orchards. You know what I mean? It's a public road, but it's not a road that many people travel unless you live out there. Hallelujah. And we were having home fellowship meetings in our house. You know, you really need to know a little of my history. And I suppose that's why the Lord is having me give it to you. Hallelujah. And I was out there. We were out there. We were having home fellowship. And one Sunday morning, now this particular brother had some of the revelation that we were adhering to, that we were pursuing after. However, he was not as deep into it as some of the other ministry that we were acquainted with. But nevertheless, he was a man of God. Hallelujah. And he had a prophetic ministry. His name was C.L. Moore. I suppose you could go online and you might be able to find something about it. He's passed maybe 20 years ago, so I don't know if there's really any information out there. But he was in his 70s when he came to my house, and he knocked on my door. Hallelujah. And when I opened it, the first words out of his mouth was, hallelujah. He says, "The Lord has sent me to fellowship with you." Him and his wife were standing there. I didn't know them. Hallelujah. I didn't know who they were. But nevertheless, I felt a witness in my spirit. Hallelujah. I felt a witness in my spirit. Hallelujah. And in quite frankly, hallelujah, I was at that time looking for a word from the Lord. Now, I didn't know the prophetic nature of this man, but I also had this inclination that this man might indeed be able to give me the answer of the question that I was asking God. So I invited him in. And there was about 12 to 15 of us there sitting in the living room of my home. And he came in and he sat down. And I was having a particular dilemma. Hallelujah. Because I was involved in work. I was farming for my dad. I was working for my dad at the time. I was farming for him. And I was also in the construction business. Hallelujah. So my schedule was quite full. Hallelujah. And my workload was seemingly increasing. Hallelujah. Because we were also going into custom harvesting of almonds. Hallelujah. That's where you have equipment and machines, and you go out and you shake the tree, and then you sweep them up, and then you pick them up. Hallelujah. That was on top of everything else. Hallelujah. And so my workload was quite extensive, and the little fellowship was growing, and there seemed to be doors opening for me to go here or to go there, and it seemed to be conflicting. Hallelujah. So I petitioned the Lord. I said, "Lord, either you have to release me to go into the ministry, preacher, hallelujah, or you have to release me from the ministry and I will work and support whoever you want me to support as far as the ministry is concerned." And I thought it was a legitimate position. I thought it was a legitimate complaint. I thought it was a legitimate request. Hello? Hallelujah. And I'm probably sharing this because there's somebody here who is probably struggling with the same issues in one way or another. And there were, like I said, anywhere from 12 to 15 of us. And this man came and he shared a word. You know, I don't even remember the word. Hallelujah. But I remember what happened next. The man got up and he started prophesying. Hallelujah. And I'm sitting here in a chair, and there's people going around this way, and there's people going around this way. He started right here, right next to me, and started going around the row. Hallelujah. And you know, that man prophesied to every man and every woman and every child that was in that room. And everything they were saying was actually true, actually real, because these are people that I know and have been working with. And he comes down to me, hallelujah, comes all the way around to me, hallelujah. Now I am asking God. I had a specific request before the Lord, you know, as to what I should do, one or the other. And I'm expecting this man now to give me an answer. Hello, hallelujah. And he's going around, and my expectations are growing. The more he prophesies, the more accurate he is, the more I know about it, I'm saying, oh yes, I'm going to hear it now, I'm going to get it now, and this is going to fix it. Hallelujah. Amen. He gets around to the last person right here, gives him a word, turns around, and heads for his feet. Hallelujah. Now, what would you do? You know, there's a funny thing about prophecy. If you're under the unction and the anointing, if you're under the pressure of that prophetic word, you can tell people who are wanting prophecy. It's like they're trying to pull it out of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you have to be careful in all of those types of situations too, by the way. So I knew the man, when I know by experience now, that the man knew that I needed this word and I was expecting him to give to it. And he just turns around and heads for his feet. Hallelujah. He almost got to his seat when he spun around. And he pointed his finger right between my eyes. And I've said, oh boy, here it comes. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to be knowing now what I'm going to get. Now, I'm not going to tell you which one I was hoping for. Hallelujah. And he just said four words. He pointed his finger at me and he says, you will do both. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. He could have just as well gone home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know, bless that man's heart. It was the word of God. And God taught me a valuable lesson. Hallelujah. That he does not think like I think. Hallelujah. That he has in his heart, in his mind, something much more better. And as difficult and as hard as it may be, that in the midst of all of it, he will honor and do what it is that he needs to do, and you will do what you need to do. Hallelujah. But you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to assess it. You need the Holy Spirit to judge it. You need the Holy Spirit to confirm it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not a matter of just telling you what's in your heart. It's not a matter of just answering a request. There has to be some sort of spiritual communication that is coming to you, hallelujah, with regards to the situation that brings a comfort and a peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So, anyway, let's go back to the tabernacle. Hallelujah. So, we have this structure. Hallelujah. We have this structure. Hallelujah. That we call the tabernacle. Hallelujah. And that tabernacle is designed to lead us into all truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I look at the tabernacle as a portal. It's a portal between time and eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now remember, I want you to remember, hallelujah, that we talked about the other day, the fourth dimension, right? That fourth dimension is Christ. Hallelujah. The goal of salvation is Christ. The goal of getting born again is Christ. Everything in the scriptures is Christ orientated. Because in the beginning, Christ would be the vehicle by which God, hallelujah, hallelujah, which the Father who is in heaven, the Father who is in heaven, hallelujah, would meld and merge with man. Hallelujah. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He would meld and merge with man. Hallelujah. And they would become one. Hallelujah. In some respects, the Father is moving from the ethereal, from the spiritual realm, in some manner or degree, to be able to relate to the physical realm and to work with humanity in that realm for the purpose of whatever is in his mind or was in his mind in the beginning as far as eternity is concerned. Eternity is not just like a room you enter into that has peace and tranquility. Hallelujah. Eternity is another level, another step of maturity. Hallelujah. Because outside of Jesus Christ, we have never seen the operation of God and man working together. Hallelujah. And we know that God and man was working together in Jesus because Jesus was the one who testified that if you see him, you see the Father. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the position, the place, and the focus, hallelujah. One of the prophets said that if you don't have this vision, I'm amplifying it. Brother Ibera, he likes the amplified. Hallelujah. I'm amplifying it. If you don't have this vision, you will not make it. Hello? Hallelujah. If you're wanting just to get into heaven, hallelujah, it's not enough. Because the devil always has something greater than that reality or that thought or that concept. Hello? Hallelujah. That is why the Bible says that faith is the instrument or the vehicle that we will have to utilize, hallelujah, in order to maintain our position of focus, in order to maintain our attachment as far as our vision is concerned, so that we do not falter along the road. And if we falter, then the vision that we have will be something greater than the obstacle that is causing us to stumble. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul put it a different way. Paul said, I press toward the mark. Of what? The high calling. Hallelujah. 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 Paul also said that he was a man born out of due season. What was he talking about? He knew the time frame in some respect. He knew the element of time that needed to pass and the development of this revelation in humanity to where humanity would come to a point to be able to see that this humanity, that this vision or this reality of Christ is something that they could possess. Hello? And now because of that situation, he knew that he was not going to be able to get it in the form and fashion that he wanted it. You cannot tell me a man of Paul's stature who wrote how many books? Hallelujah, the New Testament. Majority of the New Testament. Hallelujah. You cannot tell me this man did not have an understanding. Hallelujah. He says that he was caught up into the third heaven. And now look at Paul's life in comparison to what he was and what he became. He became something so great and of such magnitude that his name had to be changed. Hallelujah. So he's known as Saul up until Acts, but after Acts, it's just Paul. Huh? I'm sorry? Yes, in Acts. Yes. Hallelujah. That's what I said, wasn't it? Huh? He was known as Saul up until Acts, but from there on he was known as Paul. Is that what I said? I don't know. Maybe I didn't say that. Maybe I didn't make it clear. Anyway, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And somehow I think that Paul pushed God. Hallelujah. I think somehow in his position of belief, his position in faith, his position in knowledge. Now remember, this man was a man who spent 14 years on the backside of a desert. Hallelujah. How would you like to be 14 years on the backside of a desert? That means in isolation. That means obscurity. We have no idea what's going on. We have no idea what the conditions of his life were. All we know is that during that time, he was caught up into the heavenlies. Hallelujah. And he went through about 14 years of preparation before he made his advent, hallelujah, to the church of that time frame, of that period. Hallelujah. And that man is the man who is responsible for laying out all of the mechanics of salvation. He takes the tabernacle in Hebrews and translates it from a natural thing to a spiritual thing. Hallelujah. He talks about the Melchizedek priesthood. Hallelujah. He talks about the order of God and the aspects of the operation of the heavenlies as far as angels are concerned. Hallelujah. You can't tell me that man did not have a revelation of the end time. Especially when he lamented in some manner or fashion that he was a man born out of due season. Hallelujah. No wonder he was willing to embrace death. Look at his life, brethren. If he had not had the revelation, if he had not had the vision, and what makes you think that you cannot have such an experience? What makes you think you can't have such an experience? If you're willing to pay the price. Hallelujah. You know, he spent so much time in jail that some of the brethren begin to think him as a jailbird. Huh? And he wrote to church, I'm not ashamed of my bonds. Hallelujah. Can't you imagine? This guy spent more time in jail than he does ministering to the church. Why? Because he had to write the Bible. Hallelujah. And the only place that he could really write it was from jail, down there in a dungeon. And brethren, those dungeons, they weren't like your home. At least I hope not. Hallelujah. When they threw Jeremiah into the pit, you know where they threw him? Into the sewer. Hallelujah. And he left it to his armpits in sewage. Huh? How would you like to spend the night in that? Oh my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, maybe some of you wouldn't mind it, but me, it would be something else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here we are. Hallelujah. This man had a revelation. Not only did he have a revelation, he had an experience. Not only did he have an experience, but his experience brought vision. Hallelujah. And I believe it was the vision and the experience that held him true to the course. Right now, we have the freedom to move about and to have this type of fellowship and to come together in this manner and share the word of God. But what if you start being persecuted for that privilege? Huh? What if something happens and the environment changed and for you to do that is going to cost you physical discomfort? Probably loss of property, maybe the fact of your life being threatened in some way. Hallelujah. Because let me tell you something. On the basis of the revelation that you and I have, we are number one on the devil's list. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? We are number one. Now, how do I know that? Because God showed it to me. I was in Sierra Leone. Hallelujah. Sierra Leone, if I ever only get a new revelation of hell, before I have to go. Hallelujah. Sorry about that, Margaret. Not derogatory. It's good for me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I was in Sierra Leone. Hallelujah. And on this particular trip, the devil was really after me. I mean, he was really after me. He hit me in my back. Hallelujah. He hit me in my back. And the only way I could get out of bed in the morning, hallelujah, was to roll out and fall on the floor. Hallelujah. And hopefully I fell on my face. Because if I didn't fall on my face, then I had to wiggle around and move around until I could get on my stomach. Hallelujah. So I could bring my knees up, bring my hands down, hallelujah, and push myself up to a crawl position. Hello? Hallelujah. But I suppose the Lord just wanted to keep me humble. I don't know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Be that as it may, it was fine with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. But during that time of stay, I was having dreams. I was having visions. I was having visitations. Hallelujah. And one of those visitations, I was in this brother and sister's home. They were taking care of me. Bless their hearts. Hallelujah. God gives me such good people to take care of me. I do appreciate it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I got up out of my bed. Now, whether in the body or out of the body, I have no idea. To me, it seemed like a real situation. Hallelujah. I walked out of my room, and there's a stairway going down. And as I walked down the stairway, you walk into a dining room that has a step off, and then there's a big living room. But the big living room had no furniture in it. Hallelujah. It just had this big elongated table that was rounded on the end. And around it were the devil. He was sitting at the head of the table, by the way. Hallelujah. And around it were some of the princes. And there were some human people, both men and women, that were sitting around the table. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they were discussing the world's business as far as souls are concerned. The table was loaded with files and things that pertain to governments and organizations and all of these different things and mechanics of these things. And they were discussing how they could utilize them or how they could thwart them or how they could do their deviltry with them or around them or by them. Hallelujah. These are the things that they were discussing. And I knew the human beings that were there were real human beings. Hallelujah. And I also knew that this conclave that had been called is something that happened on a regular basis. And that these individuals who were there, hallelujah, the humans, were key figures in the economy of the world as far as spiritual activity is concerned. Hello. Hallelujah. And that they were, I won't call them witches because I think they were bigger than witches, more stronger than witches. I don't know what a witch is per se, but I believe that these were the hierarchical aspect of the principalities of darkness. And also knew that the by which these people got there was by having a out-of-body experience. That means their physical body was somewhere else. You know what it is, right? And they have it all the time here in Nigeria, I suppose. Hallelujah. So it's nothing strange to you. Hallelujah. And they were discussing the business of the world and how they could do their deviltry and implement and to continue implementing their plan. And their plan was that the darkness that they were creating by virtue of humanity would become so gross, so dark, and so absolutely malignantly wicked that spirits would be able to inhabit human beings and governments and not destroy the human being. Hello? Now, you remember I said that you were not created to house darkness. You were created to house likeness, light. Because you are to be made in the image and likeness of the Father. But, hallelujah, the devil, and somebody read it early, in one of the messages, I think it was Brother Iberi, I'm not sure when he was talking about some of this, hallelujah, he was talking about the devil desires to usurp the position of the desire of God to inhabit a people. That means the devil wants to inhabit the people. Hallelujah. Now you remember, I put on the board the other that you only have two goals, spiritual goals that are prevalent in the aspect of the spiritual realm. The one goal is the son of perdition. The other goal is the son of God. But let me put a different defining word on it. One is Antichrist and the other is Christ. Now, Antichrist doesn't mean just that someone is against Christ. It means another Christ for another purpose, for another goal. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? It is a Christ, but it is an Antichrist, or it is a Christ of darkness. Hallelujah. And the Bible doesn't call it Christ. It calls it pernicious spirits. Hallelujah. And this is the goal of the devil. Hallelujah. And they were sitting there, and they were around this table, but off to the right of the devil's hand on the table was this special stack of files. Hallelujah. And those files I knew to be the sons of God. The individuals who were pursuing after a particular message. Now, I'm telling you all this to tell you that you're number one on the devil's list. And I don't care if you are participating, or you're dragging your feet, or you're just sitting down sleeping. It makes no difference. If you heard the message, you're a potential threat. Hallelujah. You're a potential threat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it may aggravate you. It may irritate you. You may want to say, no, I don't believe it. That's fine. But I am washing my hands of your blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I believe it. I believe it because I believe that God told me about it. And God is telling me to tell you about it. Hallelujah. 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 And you know, if you don't, you've had some experiences that are very close to what I'm talking about. You have seen how the devil has raised up against members of your congregation, members of your fellowship. And in rising up destructive, trying to murder, trying to kill, hallelujah, wreaking havoc and destruction, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have been firsthand witness. And they're not random acts of violence. Do you understand? Hallelujah. They're not random acts of violence. Hallelujah. They are perpetrated by the devil to stop you and I from pursuing after the message, to stop us from being able to grasp a hold of it, embrace it, and take it unto ourselves. Hallelujah. And on this table were these files. And I in the midst of those files, I saw my name. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't see in the file, but I saw my name. Hallelujah. It was down near the bottom. Hallelujah. Maybe it'd take them a while to get there. Hallelujah. But there was a concern. There was kind of a panic in the conclave that was going on, because something strange was happening. They opened a particular file, and I didn't see the name. Hallelujah. They opened a particular file,
And in that file is everything about that person is listed. Everything. His complete, total history. From the time he's born to the time that fell, that this event was happening. Everything in it. It said all the physical statistics, eyes and color and hair, and all of the likes and the dislikes, all of the things they have been involved in the past, and the things that they have contributed to darkness, hallelujah. But also in all of these things, there was also something stamped about them coming to be born again. Now it did not say born again, but I knew that that's what it meant. And there was a problem with these files, hallelujah, because as they were turning the pages, they noticed that some of the writing on the pages was disappearing. Hallelujah. Some of the writing on the pages were disappearing, and this was creating a panic. And at the time I saw it, I did not understand it. But God, as I was praying about it in my personal private time, he began to tell me. He says, your sins are washed away. Amen. Hallelujah. You are given a clean slate. Amen. Hallelujah. But there are issues that we have with regards to darkness and our fellowship with it. But as we learn what those issues are, and as we begin to make the decision and the choice to change those situations, to repent. And that is the key that wipes the thing away. The repentance of what it is that you did. God, I am so sorry I did that. I might have to go to somebody and say to them, brother, I did this and this and this, and I am so sorry. And I am repenting to you. Will you please forgive me? Hallelujah. That transgression, that position, that violation begins to fade out. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And this was a concern to them, because they knew that if it went, it would be like an epidemic for them, in that it becomes something that is incurable and they can't stop, and it will destroy them. So they have to stop you and I. They have to stop you. In some manner, some way, sidetrack you. Hallelujah. Get you off course. Get you off balance. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God once told me, easily diverted, easily subverted. Hallelujah. Have you ever had the experience? You got it in your mind to do something. Well, maybe it's just when you get older. I don't know. I'm training myself now. Whenever I pick something up, I always put it back in a particular place. Like my keys. I always put it back in the same place. And sometimes I have to walk clear across the house and into another room to do that, instead of just throwing them on the counter, like I sometimes do. Sometimes they throw on the counter and they slide across the counter and they drop down on the drain board. And then I say, where's my keys? Hallelujah. And I have this idea. I go into the house to get something. I have a little shop out in my garage where I make things. Hallelujah. And I go out of my shop. Oh, I need to get that. I go into the house to get something. I get halfway to my bedroom and on my office back there, and I forget what I'm going. What am I going after? Hallelujah. Easily diverted. Because something catches my attention. Are you doing something and you intend to do something? Thought comes to you and somebody says something. You say, what? You forget about it. And it don't get done. Hallelujah. Maybe that's just me. Oh, that's good to know. It's not old age, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Easily diverted. So I am doing things in the natural to rectify that problem. One of the things is I put my keys in the same place every time. I make a mental note. I come into the house and I say I'm going to put my keys on my desk in that little dish. And that's where I put my keys. I'm not perfect at it yet, because sometimes I throw them on the counter. Hallelujah. And you know, God is merciful. He gave me a finder of lost things. That's my wife, by the way. You know, I don't know what it is about her, but I lose something, and all I got to do is say, Nancy, I can't find my paper. She says, it's there somewhere. I know it's there. God will show it to you. And I look down, there it is. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So she's my lost and found department. Hallelujah. Bless her heart. Hallelujah. So there is a position, there's a place. You and I have to have a vision. We have to be focused. What are you focused on? Hallelujah. And you know, brethren, really, you need to ask God. I can give you all of these things that God has spoke to me. I can tell you these things one by one. But you are the person. You are the one who is responsible for working out your own salvation. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Moore, by the way, I didn't quite finish that story. Brother Moore, by the way, was the one who laid hands on me and prayed for me. Hallelujah. And he gave me a commission. Hallelujah. He said that God would, I'm just a little farm boy living out there in the country. I don't get out of my environment, much less out of my state or much less out of the United States. But he said, God is going to send you around and back and forth across the world, and he's going to give you word. You just open your mouth and he will fill it. Hallelujah. And that is something he has been doing for me from day one. Hallelujah. And there's only one time that I violated the rule, and I can guarantee you I will never do it again. Hallelujah. But we have to have a focus. We have to have our attention fixed on some aspect of what we believe is the will of God. And the will of God is that we go from start. The will of God is that we go from start to finish. The starting place is the brazen altar. Hallelujah. But we also have this little basin here between the holy place and the brazen altar, and that is called the brazen laver. And that brazen laver is representative. Hallelujah. Whoops, sorry. This is your salvation experience. Salvation experience. This is baptism. And that is not just baptism into an organization or baptism into a fellowship because you go to a particular fellowship. That is baptism unto. Not into, unto. There's a difference between into and unto. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Holy Spirit baptizes you. Hallelujah. Unto Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we have baptism. Baptism is two parts. Water and Spirit. Hallelujah. Water is indicative of that position, that place of consecration, dedication, and sanctification. Because it says it's by the washing of the water of the word that we are purified. And it depends the word that you're listening to. If you're listening to a word of salvation, and that is all the word that you're listening to, then you will be saved. But you will not get very much farther beyond that word if that is the only word that you are hearing or willing to listen to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we are baptized in water, that means when we are immersed, we are baptized into his death. That means that when you come up out of that water, you're going to be walking out that position of burial, hallelujah, concerning that death that is going to be orchestrated on your behalf so that you might know the reality of that newness of life. Hallelujah. If you do not die, you cannot be resurrected. Hallelujah. This aspect of baptism, hallelujah, is also a marriage. It's a marriage covenant. I think that's right. It's a marriage covenant. Hallelujah. And it's a contractual thing that you are making with Jesus Christ. Hello. Hallelujah. In this respect, there are three developments of character that you metamorphose into, through, and unto. Huh? Hallelujah. At this point, when you are born again, hallelujah, the Bible looks at you, hallelujah, the Lord looks at you as a handmaid. It doesn't make any difference if you're male or female. You are in the capacity of a handmaid. Hallelujah. Now you have been betrothed. You have been espoused. Now you can't look at this from your cultural position as far as marriage is concerned. You have to look at it from the Jew side of the equation. The position and the requirements of the spousalship concerning women that were Jew marrying to a Jewish man. Hello? And a spousalship was the first stage of marriage. We call it engagement. There was no courtship per se. Hallelujah. But when we call it engagement, but engagement in our terminology is not an accurate word to describe the restrictions that are upon it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because in actuality, that woman who was espoused was called the wife of the man who she was espoused to. She was already, preliminary way, a wife. Hello? So all the laws of marriage applied to that espousalship. Hallelujah. Now you can go into Jewish history, but better yet, I suggest you go into Luke chapter 1 and read the account of the issue with regards to Gabriel coming to Mary to give her a word concerning what was going to happen with her. Hallelujah. And as you read that, you will begin to see or understand that is not just something that the Lord is recording for us, that we might know what happened to Mary, but she was wanting us to know the process of what happens when we come to this position or this place of baptism after being born again. Hello? Hallelujah. And the basis of what happened to Mary is all on the basis of a word. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Gabriel, as great and mighty as he may be, was nothing more than a messenger. Hallelujah. He was carrying a word. Hallelujah. And he was doing that because the Holy Spirit had not yet come. If you're looking for a word from an angel, forget it. Because if you get a word from an angel, it'll probably be a demon spirit. Hallelujah. God no longer talks to his church via angels. You may see angels, but the angels are not going to converse with you concerning your position, your place of salvation. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is to lead us into all truth. He is part of the Godhead. So God is wanting to speak directly to his people on the basis of that experience of what we call born again. Hallelujah. And it is a marriage covenant. Now, if you don't believe that, you go into Jeremiah chapter 31, read verse 31, 32. And it's about a new covenant that God is going to make with his people. Hallelujah. And it also details and outlines, hallelujah, it also details and outlines how the church, how the people of God at that hour were relating to God and how God was perceiving them. Do you hear me? Because it, as you go down, it talks about the covenant, talks about them breaking the covenant, and it talks about the new covenant, and then it says, and they have broke my old covenant, even as I was a husband unto them. He said it very plain. He was a husband. He didn't say I was just a God. He didn't say I was a father. He said I was a husband. So there is a position of marriage relationship. And if you don't really believe that, go into Revelations and begin to look into the bride of Christ. And if you don't believe that, you can go into Ephesians and read where it says that Christ is head of the church. Huh? Even as what? The husband is the head of the wife. Now, don't blow that out of proportion. Hallelujah. I'm not going into that, but don't blow it out of proportion. Hallelujah. So there is a position, there is a place where God is saying, I want to marry you. Now, there has been a lot of talk going around in the world about Jesus and him marrying one of the women that were following him. That's a bunch of garbage. Because Jesus was a Jew, first and foremost. He knew the law. He knew the position of the place that he had. He was also knowing he was the son of the Father, but he also knew that he was espoused to the church. Yeah. Do you understand? The man knew he was espoused to the church. Hallelujah. And being the son of the Father and being a Jewish person under the law, he was very, very sure not to get himself involved in any type of relationship that can be misconstrued as familiar. Hallelujah. That's wisdom for some of us. Hallelujah. Because it is a marriage covenant. Now, when Joseph found out that Mary was with child, hallelujah, he determined that he was going to what? Put her away how? Privately. He was a good man. You don't know much about Joseph, but he was a good man. Hallelujah. And in spite of all of the situations, he loved that woman. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Willing to give his life for her, because he did, by the way. Hallelujah. And it took the Holy Spirit, it took God sending a message to him in a dream. Hallelujah. That what was going on was by virtue of the Father. Hallelujah. But how was it now that Mary was going to be conceived? How was that going to happen? The Holy Spirit was going to come in and overshadow her. Hallelujah. There is a little piece of furniture. Well, there's two pieces of furniture, really. Here in the Holy of Holies, there is what we call the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. And on top of that, there was this lid of solid gold. And on top of that, there was this cherubim figure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This was solid gold, and it was crafted as one piece. Hallelujah. That means that when they made it, you couldn't tell how they made it. It looked like they just formed the whole thing out of a hunk of gold. Maybe they did. I don't know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it was one piece. And it was one piece for one reason, that they might know the unity of purpose concerning those cherubims. Now, these cherubims were representative, hallelujah, of the, these, they are representative of the Spirit and the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this set on top of the ark, and the Shekinah glory would rise up in the midst of this, and it would overshadow. It would overshadow. Hallelujah. And the word that was given to them was that God would meet with them at this place, at this point. Now, in the Ark of the Covenant, I'm jumping to the end here. In the Ark of the Covenant, there were three articles. Hallelujah. There was the golden, there was the golden pot of manna. It was pure gold. It was pure gold. Hallelujah. Pure gold. Hallelujah. There was the almond ranch branch. Hallelujah. Of Aaron's. Hallelujah. And there was the table of tablets with the Ten Commandments. All three of those things were in the Ark of the Covenant. Hallelujah. The pot of gold is indicative of the manna that was given to them by God divinely to support and feed them. Hallelujah. While they were in the wilderness. Now, in our situation, in our scenario, that pot is that we will not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And it's not just talking about verbalization. It's not just talking about Bible, but it's also talking about the ministry word that comes via these avenues that we have concerning this type of forum. Hallelujah. So you live by the off of the word of God. The almond branch. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with almonds. Those are the little brown nuts you eat. I don't know. Do you know what almonds are? Huh? Some of you do, maybe. Hallelujah. But almonds are a nut that grows on a tree. Hallelujah. And it's one of the first fruit-bearing trees to produce a fruit, or produce a blossom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I farmed almonds for 10 or 15 years. Hallelujah. When they bloom, and they bloom in February in my country, my place of living, and in February is winter. Hallelujah. And they're the first tree that blossoms. And you walk out into an almond orchard, you have never smelled anything so sweet in all of your life. It's like, I imagine heaven must smell something like that. Hallelujah. But the almond branch that budded. Now you have to understand what this almond branch was. It was the rod that Aaron had when there was a dispute as to who would be that person to be in that place that Aaron was in. They thought it was that he was given favor to his family. Hallelujah. And God brought them all before him, and everyone had a branch. Everyone had a branch of authority that was for their tribe or whatever it was for. And he said, the almond branch that blossoms, not only blossoms, produces fruit and brings forth the nut. So that almond branch not only bloomed, it blossomed, it brought forth a fruit, that fruit came to a place of maturity. Hallelujah. And it's indicative of first fruits. There is a first fruits company. Hallelujah. When I was farming, I had a business, we called it First Fruits Produce. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is indicative of first fruit. Who are the first fruits? The first fruits are the five wise virgins. They are the one who push through, who come to a conclusion and a decision that they are going to press through unto the end. And they are going to be the ones that God selects and utilizes in the day of calamity. Hallelujah. In the day of the great tribulation that is coming upon the earth. If you really believe there's going to be a great tribulation, whether you believe it or not, it's coming. Hallelujah. So that is indicative of first fruits. Hallelujah. And the table of stone is indicative of the promise or the prophetic word that God spoke to Moses there on the hill. He says, I will what? I will walk in them, I will talk in them, and I will write my laws upon their heart. What does that mean? Why, how is he going to write them on your heart? Hallelujah. It means that the essence of the law, what it is, becomes your nature. Hallelujah. And in other words, it is a Christ. It is a Christ nature. Huh? And when we talk about the new man, this is what we're talking about. When we talk about the Christ, this is what we talk about. This is the essence of what it is that we are looking at. And this is the goal to which we should be fastening our eyeballs on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because if you don't have that vision, you don't have that reality, you don't have that understanding, you don't have that conviction, hallelujah, then you're going to have a very difficult time with your Christianity and the word that you have embraced. Hallelujah. And I want you to know that God wants us all to start what we finish. Finish what we start. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Oh, one more thing and then I'm done. This marriage covenant is supposed to be a microcosm of the church. Did you hear me? People who observe your marriage, people who witness your position of life as a married couple or a family, what you should be demonstrating is the reality of the message that you believe that makes you a church. Amen. Hallelujah. There should be all the accoutrements and adornments in the marriage that you would want to have in the church. Hallelujah. That means that you have to treat each other with respect and love and preference and deference. Deference is one of the things that the marriage in the church is really lacking. That is when you prefer someone else over your own self. Deference. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your endurance. I appreciate your allowing me the privilege of being here. I appreciate the opportunity that God has given me and that you have facilitated and allowing me to deliver my soul. God bless you. I commend you into the hands of the Holy Spirit. And I trust that He will help you work out your salvation. Amen. With fear and with trembling. Amen. Amen.